Welcome to CWH and this timeless broadcast from my dad, Pastor Salem. We hope today's service, focused on the blessings and riches we have in Christ, will be of comfort to you. Open your Bibles to Colossians chapter 3, and let's listen to Dad now for his message, How to Praise God.
I'm Pastor Salem. I want to welcome you to the Christian Worship Hour. And we're going to have a wonderful time today. We're going to be talking about the blessings we have in Jesus. You just might be amazed at what we can, and we can't even count them all. And so just a time to rejoice. But first of all, I want to read you some of the letters. And here's a letter we got some time ago, Sartell, Minnesota. We enjoy your Bible truth sermons. We record them and watch them when we later have time. You talk often of your mom and her strong faith in Jesus. Did your dad know and have Jesus in his heart too? And that's a good question. No, he did not. And that's why I talk about my mother. She's the one that had Jesus. And you see, my dad didn't know Jesus, and you can't give something away you don't have, can you? And so he would never got fussed with us and let us go to church and never got us down. But when he was in his 60s, he went to evangelistic meetings, and he went forward and accepted Jesus, and I'm going to see my dad in heaven. He's a good man. I love him a lot. Well, here's West Palm Beach, Florida. Listen to this letter. You know, we have the Christian Worship Hour. We have The Christian Worship Hour has this film, The Heart of a Shepherd. And The Heart of a Shepherd, it's a one-hour movie, and it's made just to tell about accepting Jesus and how to accept Jesus. So you don't have to have anybody with you when you read or have this film. It tells you exactly what to say and do, and you can accept the Lord by yourself. And that's what happened to this man. Listen to this letter, West Palm Beach, Florida. Says, I had a cousin that was diagnosed with leukemia. I was witnessed to him in about 10 letters. I sent him scripture and I sent him your new song and so forth. But it wasn't until I sent him your film, The Heart of a Shepherd, and asked him to watch that, and he finally gave his heart to Jesus. Before he died, he said that he'd see my sister in heaven. She passed away 1 month before he did. Until then, he was strictly a non-believer. So thank you for your motivated film and saving his soul. Jesus loves you, and we love you too. So you get your pencil and paper out, and at the end of the service, I'll tell you how you can get this film. And you can give it to people, and all alone, they can see this story, and the story of my life, how I accepted Jesus, and then how you can accept Jesus. And here's a man born again, all by himself, watching this film. So let's see, what do we have here? Newberry, Michigan. I'm a 76-year-old woman. I'm on a very limited income in the poverty range. My health is not the best. I watch you every Sunday morning. I thank you for your service. I need your help as I have 5 children plus grandchildren whose lives are in ruin. I'm sending a small donation. I wish it was more. I need at least 10 copies of A Heart of a Shepherd. If it only helps to save even one of them, I'll be happy in the Lord. God bless this dear grandmother. She's got these children on her heart. Well, we sent the 10 copies. She didn't have anything near what it cost us to do it. I don't think they maybe paid the postage. I don't know. But we sent the 10 the next day. And we'd send it with a prayer, and we're praying that not just one of her children will be saved, but they'll all be saved, and half of the neighborhood kids too. And it's the heart of a shepherd. And when you give and you help us, you make this possible. Let's see. Oh, one more, I think. Yes. Des Moines, Iowa. I gave my heart of a shepherd to my 98-year-old friend. She lives in a senior home, and she has shared it with many people there. It is good to share with as many people as you can. And I read that and I thought, well, God bless this. Look at here. She's 98 years old. She's got me beat. I didn't think anybody had me beat. And here you got it. You got a 97-year-old preacher and you got a 98-year-old missionary. And we're putting out the word of God. And I wonder what you're doing, how you're getting along. Well, you say, well, I'm flat on my back. I can't get out of bed. I do if I could, but I can't. But you can pray, and you can tell those who minister to you and take care of you, and you can pray for the Christian Worship Hour. And some of you don't have much money or any money to spare, but what you can do is you can pray. And if you pray, the other people that have the money, they'll send it. We'll have enough. We'll always have enough. For all 40 years now, God has provided and made the way, and we give Him thanks. And so we're going to give you how you can write. Just get a pencil and paper ready at the close of the service. And some people say, oh, will he ever get done preaching? Well, I tell you, I don't preach a long time. Just seems like a long time. So get your pencil and paper. We'll join. We'll talk about that later. But here we want to look at this wonderful, wonderful thing. When we accept Jesus as our Savior, we receive eternal life. And we think, oh, that's wonderful. And it is wonderful. It's the most wonderful thing. It means we won't go to hell. Jesus said, you know, if you believe in me, you will never perish. He says, I hold you in my hand. I'm not holding on to Jesus and scared, oh, maybe I'm not holding tight enough or doing the right thing. I'm not holding on to Jesus. Jesus is holding on to me. Tells me that in John 10, verse 28, he says, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. I hold them in my hand. And the next verse, he says, the Father holds the Son's hand. And we're held in by the power of God. And so when you accept Jesus, you're saved forever, and you go to heaven. What a wonderful message. And so we talk about, Paul writes about it in Ephesians 3, verse 8, he says, he talks about the unsearchable riches of Christ. And so what he is simply saying is, there's more than just being saved. There's a lot of wonderful things happen when you accept the Lord. And then so he writes in Colossians 3, and you can maybe make a note of this, the first 10 verses of Colossians in chapter 3. That's where I'm taking my scriptures today. And in that verse, it says, verse 3, he says, we are dead. He says, we died with Christ. When we accepted the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross, we were on the cross. We are in Christ, you see. Before we're saved, we're in Adam. And Adam sinned. And Adam's fall, all of his race is going into hell. But Jesus comes, the second Adam. And he goes to the cross and he pays for our sins. And so we're not in, when we accept Jesus, we're not in Adam anymore. We're in Christ. And everything that Jesus has is we have. And so here he is. He's on the cross. We're crucified with him. We died with him. When Christ arose from the dead, we arose with him. We are so closely associated with the Lord that what happens to Jesus happens to us. We are the same thing. We're right with the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'll tell you how that happens. It's told in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 13. Mark that down. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 13. He says, we are all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and we're all given the one Spirit to drink. This means when we accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, when we ask him to come into our heart and take away our sins, we are baptized by the Holy Spirit. That means the Holy Spirit takes us out of living, being in Adam, and puts us in Christ. That wonderful Holy Spirit, here we are, we're in our sins. And in Ephesians it says, we're dead in our sins because we're all sinners and come short of the glory of God. All have sinned, God tells us, except Jesus. Only one didn't sin. And so when we come to Jesus, then he takes us out of Adam, and he puts us in Jesus. When we accept Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, that's a work of the Holy Spirit. It's called the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That happened when you accepted Jesus. I have people that are praying for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Well, just forget about it, brother or sister, because that happened when you accepted Jesus. And he took you out of this body, and he put you in the body of Christ, the sinless body of Christ. And that's the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And so that's when we are represented by Jesus Christ. We're not represented by Adam anymore. And all in Adam are going to perish. And that is eternally, not that they're going to die. They're going to die. They're dead spiritually. And they're going to be in a Christless eternity. They're going to be in that place where the fire is not quenched, where they're weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. That's what Jesus said. The one who loved you more than you can ever imagine love. He says, I'm telling you this so you don't go to that place. And you decide whether you're going to heaven or hell. You decide that. There's some people teach that to God decides that. God doesn't decide any such thing. He says, as many as come to me, I'll give eternal life. He says he's not willing that any should perish. He doesn't want anybody to perish. But if you say, I don't know Jesus, I'm good enough of myself, and you go your own way, you're going to perish. That means you're going to be in hell. And so that's why we preach, and that's why we beg. And boy, I'd stand on my head, and that'd be kind of hard, 97 years old. But I'd try it if you turn to Jesus and come to Jesus, just to have him. And so this is what Paul tells us in Romans 6, verses 8 to 10. He talks about this. When a person accepts Christ, he becomes a part of his body. Paul says, now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over you. For in that he died unto sin once, and in that he liveth unto God. And that's in a very real sense. We died with Jesus Christ. And St. Paul declared, we died with Christ. And then he says, we are raised with Christ. Colossians 3, verse 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. And so this wonderful dear Lord Jesus, you see, the New International Version puts it like this. Since then that you have been raised with Christ. When Jesus came from the tomb, we were raised with him. We are in Christ. We die with Christ. We're in the tomb with Christ. He raises us spiritually. And we will come to him to have every eternal life. And so that's why we say that the sting of death is sin. Strength of sin is the law, but God conquered the law, lived out the law. And so when we die, people talk about the valley of the shadow of death. And I had a sermon on how God walks us with the valley of shadow of death. You know how long the valley of shadow of death, how long it is? Bing. That's it. That's all there is to it. It is, says it is the valley of the shadow. It's a shadow. It was a time where it was a tough and it was a real substance and it was a horrible thing. But Jesus died and he conquered death, and the sting of death is sin. And it is now only a shadow. Shadow of a dog can't bite you. Shadow of a knife can't cut you. And 1 second where that, when people die in the Lord, Christian people, well, what happens? One breath here and the next breath you're in heaven. You're through the valley of the shadow of death. It takes 1 second to go through the valley of the shadow of death because it's just a shadow. It's all gone, all gone. And so this Lord Jesus Christ then, he says that we're raised with him and we walk with him. We don't fear death. And then it goes on in this first verse. And he says, we are seated with Christ in heaven. We're seated with Christ. It says, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. So Jesus Christ has gone into heaven. We call it the ascension. 40 days after the resurrection, Jesus ascended into heaven, and he's in heaven right now. And so are you, and so am I spiritually. We are with Christ seated. That's what it says in Colossians 3, verse 1. Jesus now sits at the right hand of God, a place of privilege, a place of power, a place of perfect security. We are in Jesus. We're in heaven spiritually, seated with him right there in heaven. And so we're reading about, and then I'm thinking as I'm talking here, this when Stephen died, first martyr of the Christian church. And when Stephen died, this is what he said. It's in Acts 7, 55 and 56. He cried out and he was stoned to death. And Stephen cried out. But he, being full of the Holy Spirit, looked up steadfastly into heaven, and he saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Now Jesus is seated at the right hand of God, but when his people suffer, he stands to suffer with them. And that's where you are today if you're a Christian. That's where I am. I'm with Jesus in heaven. My body is here and I'm serving the Lord here, but for all everything concerned, I'm at home safe. And you say, well, yeah, you preached 75 years. It's kind of lousy preaching, but you was trying. Preaching doesn't have a thing to do with it. Doesn't have a thing to do with it. I could be the worst sinner. Maybe I am worst sinner on earth. But when I accepted Jesus, that clothed with the righteousness of Christ, and he talked to all our sins are taken away. and remembered no more. And so he sits at the right hand of the great high priest. And then he sits there, and we are with him. We're told in Hebrews 4, verses 14 and 15. Seeing then, he talks about Jesus Christ, of how that he's touched by our infirmities. He's in the right hand of the throne of God. But when Stephen suffers, or when the people of the persecuted church suffered, or when they persecute you for your righteousness, that hurts Jesus. And when we hurt another Christian, it hurts Jesus in heaven. So we ought to be careful how we treat each other. But we're told in Hebrews chapter 4, 14 and 15, seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast to our profession. For listen to this, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. And so this wonderful Jesus, this wonderful Savior, we're with him in heaven. And then it goes on in Ephesians 2, verse 6, and it tells us, and hath raised us up together and made us sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That's right now. That takes place. And so you ought to rejoice. You ought to be happy and just praise the Lord, because we accepted the Lord, and we're called by his salvation, and we're called by his name, Christian, and we belong to him. And so we're with Christ seated in heaven. We are in Christ when we have union with Christ, and we are seated with Christ on the right hand, and see, we are secure as we can be. And sometimes people wonder, oh, I wonder if I'm going to go to heaven. Maybe I did this or maybe that, and I'm going to be lost, and I'm going to go into heaven, and I don't know what to do. Well, I'm going to tell you this, dear Lord, dear friends. When you have Jesus Christ, you're seated in heaven, and you'll never go to hell. You're a part of his body. And for a Christian to say, well, I'm a part of his body, but a part of his body sinned and is going to be in hell, is blasphemy. That's all it is. You are in Christ. And you're not just with your head. Don't worry about just your head. Satan knows all of these things too, but with your heart. You give him your heart. You give him your soul. You give him everything you have, and you love him. And I'm going to tell you something. I've been with Jesus 87 years, and I haven't always been good. And I fail lots of times, many times. And you know, when I'm saved, you know what I do? I ask Jesus to forgive me. And he forgives me every time. And I just said, and it says in 1 John 1, 9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins, cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so I go to Jesus and I ask him to forgive me. And he forgives me every time. And you say, well, how many times have you gone? Oh, I suppose I've gone 10,000 times. I don't know. Once a day at least. And so it's like this. Here you have your son, and you love your son, but he's alienated from you. Now, and he goes off, and there's no fellowship. Fellowship is broken, but he's still your son. And when we accept Jesus, we become the children of God. And when we sin, that fellowship is broken. We confess that sin. We're not confessing sins to get to heaven. That's all settled. We're confessing our daily sins. We lost our temper, had a bad thought, had some lust in our minds, put our money first. I don't know. It could be 1,000 different things. Stub your toe and you could say a bad word. And so he said, dear Jesus, I want to have that fellowship. Don't want that fellowship. I know I'm still your child. It may, even when I'm naughty, I'm still your child. And I just thank God for that. And so then it goes on and tells some more. It says, we are glorified in Christ. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 4. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Jesus is now at the right hand of the throne of God in heaven. He is surrounded with glory. And one day he's going to return, and he's going to bring us with him. We're going to come with the Lord. That's what he tells us. He says in Thessalonians, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the dead, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God. And the dead in Christ, that's all these Christians that have died, they're with the Lord right now. The dead in Christ, and then the dead in Christ are going to be raised. And all of the Christians in the grave are going to be raised. And all of those who are alive are going to be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. And what it means is we have that glory right now. But when Jesus comes, the whole world will see that glory. It's there. And I have so many friends that I think about. I am so anxious to see my mother and my dad. I'm so anxious to see so many of those wonderful people that I got to work with, and so many that came to Jesus. There's thousands of you that I can't see, and I won't see till we get to heaven. But if you die on this earth, you're going to be in that glory in heaven. And when Jesus comes again, we're going to come with him with all that glory. And then the world can see that glory. They can't see it now. They think we're talking nonsense. And their eyes are blinded to the things of God. But when you accept Jesus, you see and understand these things. You don't understand everything, but you'll understand enough to really be saved and be happy. And so God says, if we're accepted him, we're going to be glorified. That's what he says in Romans 8, verse 30. Moreover, it says, moreover, whom he did predestinate. And how are you? What about predestination? It means that when we accept Jesus, we are predestinated to be with the Lord. It doesn't mean that God predestines us and picks out you're saved when you're in and you're out and you're saved and you're lost. That's nonsense. That didn't come from the Holy Spirit. And it says when you accept Jesus, you are predestined then. And he says you're predestined. And he says you're called. And he says, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. Whom he called, them he justified. Whom he justified, them he also glorified. And that is, we are glorified the moment we receive Jesus, because we're predestined for that. And it'll never end. And so what does Paul say? He says, because you have all these things, and my friends, we just haven't hardly touched the surface of all that we have. We're joint heirs with Christ. That means everything that God is, we're joint heirs with Christ. And there's no way of figuring out all that is. But Paul says, therefore, seek those things which are above, verse 1. Seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand. And Jesus told us, didn't he, in Matthew 6, verse 33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and these things shall be added unto you. So God is telling us, now you need to seek. You need to strive in every way to learn more about Jesus. And he needs to be the one that we want. And he's the one that Paul says, for me to live as Christ in Philippians 1:21. I'm seeking, I'm living for Christ. There's some people that are living for money. There's some people that are seeking popularity. They're seeking applause of the people. They're seeking to live all the pleasures of this earth. They're seeking for sex. All this sex, and they have $1 billion pornography business going on for people that are seeking sex and money and pleasure and power and rulership and sports and gossip. They're seeking everything but the right thing. And Paul says, you can seek all these things. That could be your life. And every one of us, we've got our life centered on something. And you just show me your pocketbook, your bank stubs, and I'll tell you what you're seeking after. Easy to pick out. And so you'd say, Paul is saying, seek first, Jesus. For me to seek Christ, for me to live my whole life is seeking Jesus. It's walking with Jesus, it's being with Jesus. I'm seeking his kingdom. He says, set your affection on things above. And that is the affection, the thing that you think about the most. There are some things that predominate our mind. Some are good and some are bad. I don't know, but I know about my mind. I can have 1,000 things go through. And it isn't wrong to have those things go through your mind. Just don't let them lodge there. It's like one old pastor said. You can't stop the birds from flying over your head, but you can stop them from making nests in your hair. And don't give time for these things that are wrong, but the things that are pure and right and good. Think of those things and think of the Savior. But the most important thing, accept Jesus. And just pray, Jesus, Jesus, I'm sorry for my sins. And I ask you, please come into my heart and take away my sins. And I'll serve you. I'll turn from my sins. And I'll do the best I can in serving you. Thank you, Jesus. And when you fail, just tell Jesus, ask him to forgive you. And if you write to us, if you made that prayer, we'll send you literature. Or get into a church somewhere where they're preaching the Bible. Get with Christian friends. Maybe you got the wrong kind of friends. And read the Bible. Read the Gospel of John. That's a beautiful, beautiful gospel. And pray every day. And then write to us, the Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota. And if you want to keep that film, we will send that. And we'll free and postpaid. If you can send something, that's good. And then if you want to help us in the work, ask God about it. Should you help us and do what God says? 40 years now, we're starting 41, and God's provided all the way. So now I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray for you, and I'm going to pray for the dear people. And we have on closing, we always have somebody. We pray for people, and we're going to pray for them in Syria. Dear Heavenly Father, we just pray that you'll bless everyone who's tuned us in today. Pray, thank you for those who accepted you. And Lord, we're praying for the persecuted church in Syria, how they suffer, and yet they do it gladly, joyfully, because they are part of your kingdom. They belong to you. Pray for the young people today. Pray for the shut-ins and the children. Pray for all who have special needs. And thank you, Lord, for helping us and guiding us. And may we do all things to honor you. In Jesus' name, amen. So we want to thank you for tuning us in. We want to thank all of you that help us. And here again, I want to give the address for the people that shortwave. Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. If you can send a gift, then I know our shortwave people, we can't hardly do anything. But those of you that have your means, you help us. And always remember this, that God loves you. And he's not willing that any should perish, but all should come to his Son. He doesn't want anybody to be lost. And that's when he prayed on the cross for you. He could see you, and he's praying for you. And also remember the Christian Worship Hour. Practically all of our work here is done by volunteers, giving their time because they love you and they love Jesus. The Christian Worship Hour has you on heart. And I want to tell you that I know God loves you and the Christian Worship Hour loves you. And I sure love you the best way I know how. And I want to see you in heaven. I want to shake your hand. I want to see what you look like. And I bet you're better looking than I'll ever be. But we'll all be good looking in heaven. So God bless you, each one.
My dad loved to preach because he got to tell people of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. If you would like to learn more about having a relationship with Jesus and grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, click the encouragement link on our website at cwh.org. You may also stream more programs, subscribe to our monthly newsletter, and view Pastor Salem's devotions and answers. We would be most grateful if you would pray for this ministry and help us financially to continue proclaiming the gospel. God bless you.